Father, we thank you tonight in the name of the Lord Jesus. Joy and rejoice in the tabernacle of the righteous. Lord, we thank you for the great joy we are sharing tonight, Lord. Lord, overcome us in the name of the Lord, by the word of the Lord. Lord, open your hands, satisfy the desire of every living thing. And tonight, this scripture is fulfilled among us, Lord. And we give you all praise and glory. Lord, Lord, you have told us to be anxious for nothing, but in everything, by prayer and supplication with thanksgiving, making our request known unto God. And say the peace of God that passes all understanding shall keep our hearts and minds through our Lord Jesus Christ. How true thy word is, Lord. Blessed be thy name, Father. In the name of our Lord Jesus Christ. What a delight it is to open the scriptures again by the grace of our Lord Jesus to see what you have to tell us tonight. Lord God, expose the scripture, reveal it to our Lord. Father, in the name of the Lord Jesus, for the time we are living in particular, Father, thank you for ordaining us before the world began to live at this close of the age. We give you all praise and glory. You will do all your pleasure, the good pleasure of your good will to every one of us. We thank you, Father. In Jesus' name, Father, we pray.
Amen.
Praise the Lord Jesus.
Hallelujah.
What a feast we have with our brother last Wednesday. Praise God. Always enjoying. Every one of us, that God is a destiny, it's a providence of God. God has given to us. Amen. Praise God. Amen. Let us value them. Praise God. Every one of us. Blessed be the name of the Lord.
Hallelujah.
So we just resume our series this tonight and so on. We see, this is really the end time series. We are living at the end time. Praise the Lord.
Hallelujah.
The more we are versed in these things, and so many things are going on in the world. Satan also will start to put his own in there, you know. The good man is so the good seed, right? Then at night, we are in the midnight hour, right? Almost, he wants to sow his own seed. That will be versed in the scriptures and know, understand what the will of the Lord is for this age we are living in. That's why we are going. Because it's either through this series and so on, that, you know. So, we'll be talking about the coming of the Antichrist. We'll talk about 15 signs, you know, of his soon coming. Then we went into history and bring a perfect antitype of him, you know. And then last, that we have to be together, talk about there must be a revived Roman Empire of necessity because in Daniel's prophecy, he told of four Gentile kingdoms only. The fifth one is the Lord's kingdom instead. The stone caught with that hand. Smash all those Gentile kingdoms and so on. And that and the kingdom of the Lord, you know, that will not have an end, is established. Praise God. So tonight we want to move forward again and begin to talk about the rise of the Antichrist to power. His rise to power. Then maybe next time or whatever it is, and so I'm going to talk about the first 3.5 years. So this is a familiar thing, so it shouldn't be complicated. It's a delight. That's why in the book of Peter we are told, even the things we know, that God can keep us in remembrance, amen? That's in the Bible too. Praise God. And we are never weary of God's word, you know, because what did we talk about in church? Only the word of God. One thing, another thing to this, another thing, the word of the Lord. So tonight, so we've discussed many various signs of the imminent rise of the Antichrist, followed by its closest antitype, meaning, in history, by the name of Adolf Hitler. And then, the necessity of the Roman Empire to be revived at the end of time, because Daniel says so, the 10 toes and the of clay and iron, he said it in his prophecy and some of that, you know. Now, we will now move on to discuss the events of the fourth part of the reign of the Antichrist. Again, back as Hitler rose to power during a time of chaos and confusion in Germany. So the beast of Revelation 13 will come into power at a time when the world is in a state of extreme turmoil. That will be so.
Mm-hmm.
See? And the people of the nations will be looking for a man who can bring order out of chaos and whose word will carry the weight of authority. Maybe they're already looking for it already. I mean, no, unknowingly. And look at what is happening in the world today, you know. There will be little likelihood that the nations will be willing to have their sovereignty limited by a central power. They don't want that. Why is not the condition that will exist in the world at that time, at this time, no? Otherwise, they don't want it, but the world condition will mandate it. But people will have become so wearied of the disorder and anarchy, that they will welcome a man who promises to be able to restore something like normalcy in the earth. Did he win it? This will be so especially during the critical period when the man of sin conceals his true identity, his true nature, and and appears as a beneficial father who has nothing but the good of mankind at heart. So it's a deceiver, right? That means a deceiver of the whole nations, right? So now, we're going to look at different segments tonight. How he rises to power, right? You know, we see him in Western Europe first, you know. The Antichrist takes power over Western Europe. Look at that one tonight and some of that, you know. The beast power spoken of in Daniel chapter 7 and Revelation 13 will not come out of the leading superpower, say like US or even Russia. And it will not be so like that, because the Bible tells us how it will come. Not in America or Russia, you know. Where based, I say that because based on the following prophecy in the book of Daniel. That is in Daniel 11:23. You know, it may not come from the US or Russia, but the Bible tells us where we come from. In Daniel 11:23, we are told, "And after the league made with him, he shall walk deceitfully." The Bible says, now look at this sentence. "For he shall come up and shall become strong with a small people." See, coming from a tiny nation, really, you know, a small people, you know. That is Daniel 11:23. No, we know that chapter is talking about the Antichrist, really, you know. So we should put that in our mind. Because the more we go to the end of the age, the more we're going to be having all kinds of things going on around the nation, the internet, and something like that, you know, we should stand on the sure word of God. Now, as far as we know, even from history, Europe is ever fearful and weary of this Russian colossus. See, tomorrow, they are afraid. Why do we have NATO? Because of Russia encroaching to Europe, that's why we have NATO. How it was established, you know. So, and the Bible foretold all this thing before, you know. And it is in the midst of this bewilderment to get worse and worse. How many times, you know, Russia encroaching into the airspace, even of the US, even lately, as you know, they encroach through the they will fly so close to US pipelines, and that, you know, looking for all kind of trouble, you know. So anyway, so things are really heating up, and that, you know. So anyway, so the Europe, they are always afraid, you know, of this colossal called Russia and things like that, you know. So, and the thing will get worse more and more as we get to the end of the age. So it is in the midst of this bewilderment and uncertainty that a strong man will arise in Europe. His country will be one of the 10 nations in Europe that the Bible talks about. And we're going to get Bible verses for that and some of that, you know, there'll be 10 nations. And out of that one, another one will arise, where the Antichrist himself, you know, will be. So, the country that make up the common market back many, many decades ago, you know, the common market, right? And now they call it the European Union, right? They come and go, countries merging, and so on. At one day, they will complete that 10 that the Bible is talking about, you know? They may come in, NATO, come in the ECC, they may come in European Union, but one of these days they will complete, you know, something like that, you know, and for the man of sin to manifest himself. So we see that one. So, and the final number of the European countries in the beast system will be 10, according to the prophecies of Daniel, you know. And over these 10 nations will arise a dictator of the beast empire, the one popularly called the Antichrist. At first, he is but one of the leaders of the 10 nations at first, according to this Daniel prophecy. But soon, his talents and gifts will cause him to stand out above all the other leaders in that 10 nations. He will just stand out, you know. And indeed, shortly, he becomes a force to be reckoned with by all nations, actually, when he arises, you know, of the world. Even including the community, they will recognize him initially, you know. That's how powerful it will be. A satanic genius will arise, you know, And in time, most of Europe will accept its leadership, most of them. Now, 3 nations, however, out of this 10, will rebel against him, they will resist him, but he will crush them according to the Bible, you know. Out of the 10, 3 will say, what is this? They will resist him, really. But He will crush them. That is in Daniel chapter 7 verse 8. And I read, I consider the horns, and behold, there come up among them another little horn. See that? Before whom there were three of the fourth horns plucked all by the roots. See, he just destroyed them, three of them, as well as you know. And behold, in this horn were eyes like the eyes of man, and the mouth speaking great things. 24th verse says, and the ten horns out of this kingdom are ten kings that shall arise, and another shall rise after them. Make it very, very clear, you know. And he shall be diverse from the fourth, and he shall subdue three kings. Right there, plainly, I mean, revealed by the Bible and so on. He subdued three of them when they rise against him, that, you know, this is an evil person. Quickly, they will fall in line, you know. They will take a leaf, these three nations. You know why they arise? They have learned from Israel what happened in Europe, right? So, how little by little, you know, they will take a leaf from World War II. And decide that they must take measures to stop this man before it is too late, as occurred in the case of Hitler, who gobbled up one small nation after another before the Western powers take him out of the way, you know. So this what this nation has to do, but they are no match to him at all. This is mightier than Hitler, you know, this one, evil genius, that one. Nevertheless, the three opposing nations will receive a great surprise. What is it? And in a series of lightning military actions, the Antichrist will subdue the three countries, as we just read in Daniel 7:24. The result of this victory will cause him to be recognized as a military genius in the same category as Alexander the Great, Julius Caesar, and even Napoleon. That's how it will be. You see, they came in history to tell us, and to God even tries to tell the nation what shall be hereafter, even in Israel, as well as you know. So, not a few will view his rise to power with serious misgiving, not a few, but others will welcome the appearance of this strong man who can guarantee order on the continent of Europe and probably to the world, as well as you know. They will say that the Bible tells us in Revelation 13:4, they will say, who is like unto the beast? Who is able to make war with him? See, that is the age you are living in when this thing arrives to another, you know. Now, so that's Western Europe, right? Then, what about his influence upon Russia? Let's talk about that also. So, the beast and Russia. As previously discussed, the final stage of the Gentile power was portrayed in Nebuchadnezzar's image, right? By the feet of iron mingled with clay. In other words, the final form of the beast power will be a kingdom of dual character. The iron represents fascism, like we said before, or Western Europe, if you want to put that way. And then the clay, on the other hand, stands for communism, or the Russian Confederacy. That's what it is. God foresaw this thing, he called the end from the beginning, and the world is exactly set up as the prophecy said it will be, you know. And we are all watching it, and so as God begins to interpret things to his people. Since World War II, these two camps have been ready for battle at a moment's notice, both this Western Europe and Russia, I think that you know, being deterred, the only thing stopping them is the fear of atomic warfare. They know there's no winner in it, you know. That is what is deterring them, you know, all this great combat, or the Armageddon, you see, and God wants to know what it's doing too, you know. So that nuclear power has its evil. But also, God is using it in a way they know there's no winner in this. If it started like that, we press that button, bam, and that, you know. And the Bible says that it would have to, I mean, shorten the time, really. Let that no flesh be saved. Praise the Lord. So, and, you know, so all these things were there and some of that, you know. So, anyway, the tension and mistrust between the two powers, Western Europe and Russia and some of that, you know, have never ceased. And even to this very day, it exists in ever-increasing intensity. Although, at the present time, there is a sort of distance between the two of them, you know. Like I said, atomic warfare, not to be played with and so on, you know. And so, now, what will the attackers do? What will they do with Russia? Will they do like Hitler did when he had a pact with Stalin, and all of a sudden attack Russia. No, not this time around, you know. The Antichrist is an evil genius. He is smarter than that, you know. Evil genius. No wonder that, you know. So will he move against Russia in direct onslaught as Hitler did? No. The Antichrist will have no desire for a direct clash with Russia. He won't. The iron, because why? Bible to be fulfilled also. The iron and the clay, they will make it together, right? They will cleave only for a certain time, right? So they will work together for a certain time before they split apart, right? So that's why he won't go against him right away, you know? So that's why. Because the Bible says it will, they live together for a while, you know? So anyway, so the iron mixed with the clay will cleave together for a while. Hitler kept up a world duel against Russia before he finally proposed a non-aggression pact between them. They were exchanging all kind of words. Then he came up with a pact, right, of non-aggression. The Antichrist will be a wiser man this time. He will make a rapprochement with Russia and for a time will feign goodwill. I mean deception. That's the nature of the beast, right? Deception, as they say, I don't know. But the true nature of both of them is portrayed in scripture also. What's that? Daniel 11:27 tell us what they both know what they will be doing. And it's written like this. And both these kings are shall be to do mischief. You see that? And they shall speak lies at one table, but it shall not prosper. For yet the end shall be at the time appointed. They will lie one another on the same table and all that. The Bible says so, you know. Bible prophesied all this ahead of time, you know. As explained in the interpretation of Nebuchadnezzar's image, the clay and the iron, which are mingled together, will not cleave indefinitely the one to the other. The peace between the two will last only for a season, according to the Bible. Eventually, the non-aggression pact will be ignored. Peaceful intentions are merely feigned, meaning they are fake, you know, and both powers secretly joking for advantage. In the end, they will be at each other's throats at the end. Nevertheless, for a time, the dual empires will form an axis of evil, really, you know, and their combined power will enable them to intimidate and bring fear upon the whole world. While they are working together, yes, they are almost invisible, really, you know. I mean, they can just take the world over if they want to, but go on without them as well, you know. So now, having for a time taken care of the Russia problem, meaning the Antichrist, you know, the Antichrist will now move rapidly to consolidate its empire, at the same time maneuvering to secure absolute personal control. Took care of Europe, see, those three kings that rose up against him, like Alexander the Great and so on, the Leopard and so on, just move quickly, you know, like Napoleon and so on, you know. And now, he now kind of trick Russia, lying on the table and so on, you know, put into his place. Now, what do we do next? And so on, what do we do next that we do? Now, as aforementioned, he will appear at the beginning as a benevolent dictator who, in the midst of anarchy and chaos, will succeed in restoring law and order. That's how it's going to occur. Thus, he will earn the gratitude and confidence of the populace who are weary of the turmoil and confusion. We already have enough of them right now. I was talking to a brother the other day. Yesterday, I don't know that, you know. Is it the same word we have 6 months ago? Come on. It's all different. Praise God. What a great lesson. God is telling us, where we have been won over and over again, overnight, you know, things can really change. And all the world is witnessing these things, as well as, you know. So, and that's why we have to be on washing and pray. You know, God has been telling us, wash and pray. Anyway, on the other hand, those who have any knowledge of the scriptures will become more and more apprehensive when this man appear on the scene. Those who know the scripture. And thank God, all over the world, I mean, Christendom and so on, you know, depending on different, there is an awareness going on, you know, to different degrees among Christendom, you know. And we pray that it will be so more and more to the people of God. Nevertheless, the adept statesmanship of the Antichrist and his unbroken chain of successes will tend to silence those who have been critical of him, and the world will dare hope for the dawn of a new era, they think, you know, because he succeeded so much in so many things and so on. Even later, Bible talking in Daniel 8:25, even make Christ to prosper, you know. So they are so deceived and so on, you know. Revelation 17:12 says this: "And the ten horns which thou sawest are ten kings, which have received no kingdom as yet, but receive power as kings 1 hour with the beast. These have one mind, and shall give their power and strength unto the beast." I mean, he just bought them over by his magical success and so on, that, you know, those who can deceive and so on, that, you know. And the Bible prophesied of these things and so on, that, you know. Now, so he got the Europe, Western Europe, he got the Russians in place, you know. So, and, you know, what will be his next move? The papacy, you get the papacy too, you know. That's what the Bible says and so on, that, you know. So now, to the papacy, the Antichrist feigns friendship with the papacy. Now, back in history again, Mussolini was a man of no religion, you know that, himself. Nevertheless, he saw the wisdom of soliciting the favor of the Pope. In our series, you know that when the Pope went into exile, self-exile, right, he was the one that brought him back. He knew what power lay in the Pope and how he can get the Catholic world on his side if he can just get in tune with the Pope, you know. So that's what he was doing. So anyway, so Mussolini, a man of no religion himself, nevertheless saw the wisdom of soliciting the favor of the Pope, who wielded an enormous influence, not only over Italy, no, all over the world. He has hundreds of millions of followers in the Catholic world, you know, something like that, you know. So, and he knows that he will win the favor and the approval of the Catholic world. Mussolini knew that. And he arranged to release the Pope at that time, you know, back in history, from his self-imposed imprisonment. And what did he do for him? He lost the Papa, and also, that is in 1870, right? And what did he do? He granted the Pope the autonomy of the territory of the Vatican. He did it. It's not that Mussolini that this thing happened, or that Mussolini that it happened, you know, and an area around 1 square mile around the Vatican was granted him. It happened in history. All because he knew what he was doing, you know, you know what he was doing. So now, the Pope could then assume his former position, as an earthly monarchy, or monarch at that time, back in Mussolini's days. He will now be able to have his own flag, which they did back then, so today, issue his own postage stamps since that time, send out his own ambassadors and diplomatic agents, and he is now a member of the United Nations, you know. So since a couple of years ago and some of that, you know. So and Revelation 17 shows us that the beast power will follow the same course that Mussolini did. This is a great lesson, it's a great teacher, because 17:3 of Revelation says this: "So he carried me away in the spirit into the wilderness, and I saw a woman sit upon a scarlet colored beast, full of names of blasphemy, having 7 heads and 10 horns. And the woman was arrayed in purple and scarlet color, and decked with gold and precious stones and pearls, having a golden cup in her hand full of abominations and the filthiness of her fornication. And upon her forehead was a great name written: Mystery, Babylon the Great, the mother of harlots, an abomination of the earth." Well, of course, in our Revelation 3, we talk about that a lot. The identity of this woman, I mean, it's not difficult to really know. Praise God. It's none. She's none but the Rome. It's none but Rome. I mean, this is 7 E's, as far as you know. However, more than the Catholic Church will be involved in this system. Rome had made many overtures over the decades to do what? Towards the Protestants, you know, to create a super church. And it's even more intensified in this last day, as far as you know. So not just ordinary Catholic Church, The protestants are involved now. She has made many over. She has made the Bible call her the mother of Alos, right? You know. So now a super church, you know. When it is all said and done, when the merger is complete and so on, the world will have a super church when the merger of denominations with the Catholic Church is complete. The super church. This super church will flourish for a season under the patronage of the Antichrist. It will. In the end, the kings that reign under the beast system will now turn against again and burn it with fire. See, it will happen. That is in Revelation 17:16. And the 10 horns which thou sawest upon the beast, they shall hate the world, and shall make her desolate and naked, and shall eat her flesh, and burn her with fire. Now ever, his children who are not in that system will be brought out one way or the other by a miracle. Praise the Lord. Because truly, you know, God has children everywhere. Even in this system, God will bring them out at that time. So we see now, God to Russia, papacy, you know, Western Europe. You see how his face is tentacle everywhere, this evil genius. What's next now? Israel will be our next door. See? Every major thing. Israel is now our next port of call. The Antichrist, having obtained the favor of the Papal Church, a sympathetic Protestants, and by means of a pact with Russia, secure its defenses on its eastern boundaries, will then turn its attention to Israel. See? Though the children of Israel are God's chosen people, we know that, it doesn't mean that all the people of Israel will hear the voice of the Lord. Indeed, many of them called Israel today are little more than 80. Many of them. Can you imagine you have gates in Israel? What kind of, not all of Israel is Israel. You know, we know that. You know, so the Bible tells us that one and one, you know. So, and in fact, the father of communism, Karl Marx, do you know that he has a Jewish origin? He did. He was born in Germany. And his paternal grandfather, in fact, was the club of rabbi in Germany. So, the father of communism has a Jewish heritage to show you that not all Israel is Israel. You know? So, so the scriptures make it clear that only a remnant of Israel will be saved. That's the book of Romans, right? Romans 9:27. Isaiah also cried concerning Israel. Though the number of the children of Israel be as the sand of the sea, the remnant shall be saved. So they're just there like that. They're all called Israel and so like that, you know. Many of them are even worse than the infidel, you know. See? So yes, I got people. Anyway, but those of the Jews who continue, so God will save the remnant, but those who continue in idolatry they will be judged, according to any other people and so like that, you know. So it's now going to Israel and so like that, you know. Even today, Israel is looking desperately for someone who will champion our cause. Thank God for how God gave them talent and some part of God's program for them. Great technology and some of that, you know, eye in the sky and things like that, you know. But right in their heart of hearts and to fulfill scripture, they are really looking for a strong man who will champion their cause. Whether they voice it or not, they are doing it, you know. So even today, well, thank God for the U.S. is our greatest ally, we know that. But of course, altogether, Israel has only very, very few friends. Very, very few friends. That's why you have to look for a strong man in this last year. So, the whole Arab world is sworn to liquidate the little states of Israel, all of them, and to drive her into the sea. That has been their ambition decades and decades ago, you know. She is in a precarious position today, you know, meaning Israel. And despite peace negotiations up and down the decades and so on, she has little more than a respite from the persistent attempt of enemies to destroy her. Even as we speak today, Wednesday, the leader of Iran tweeted, you know, what did he say? That calling for Israel destruction, even today, you know. And I think the the owner of of Twitter and something like that, you know, today he said that he said it's not wrong for him to publish that kind of anti-Semitic something, you know, it's an expression or something, you know. Even today, they are still boasting that Israel should be destroyed. Can you see now what we are talking about? They may show might, thank God for them, but in their heart of heart, they are really desperate. They are looking for a strong man that will champion their cause. So because Israel has not yet nationally adopted Christ or accepted Christ as their true Messiah, there are severe trials looming ahead of her. Jacob's time of trouble is still coming, you know. The tribulation and things are coming. And so, yes, some of them are accepting Christ, and we support them really, you know. People are preaching gospel. There have been families here who went to Israel and stayed there and preaching the gospel all these decades, you know. Yeah, we know they'll be saved as a nation, right? You know, so we know that, you know. So we know that they'll be saved as a nation. So we see that ongoing on all the time. So anyway, so now, in these difficult days, then she will be tempted to welcome any powerful prince who will offer her protection. Israel will questionably look toward this man when he rises. Yeah, they will question it. Actually, you know, they will question it and something like that, you know, coming out of Europe. And they will anxiously be pondering his policy towards them. To their relief, his attitude is apparently more than friendly when he shows up, right? More than friendly. So, indeed, he does more than make overtures of peace. He is ready to back them up, you know, with his words, with a treaty. Now, what's he going to do? According to the Bible, you know, promising our protection against aggression. You know, Israel, being blind to the true nature of the man, will look with favor upon his proposals, the way, you know, which prophecy calls a covenant of death, you know. See, that is in Isaiah 28. I can read 2 verses in 15, and then the 18th verse, and the intervening verses, because we have said, we have made a covenant with death, and with her we are at agreement. Then something was said, then in verse 18, and your covenant with death shall be dishonored, and your agreement with her shall not stand. So when the overflowing scourge shall pass through, then ye shall be trodden down by it. Anyway, so as I already prophesied of this treaty, and of course the Bible always has more than one witness to any particular prophetic thing. So we are given further information in the book of Daniel anyway about the ominous development. Speaking of the prince that shall come, Bible tells Daniel said the prince that shall come, whose people will come and destroy Jerusalem and the temple. It was the Romans in 70 AD, as we all know by now, see, that destroyed Jerusalem and the temple. Therefore, the prince that shall come, that Daniel spoke about, must also be associated with the revived Roman Empire. I was talking about last week or 2 weeks ago, you know, it has to be like that, you know. So, because they were the one who came in 70 AD, the Bible says the prince or the people that shall come, right? So, that will be associated with the divine Roman Empire. That will be a divine Roman Empire. So, this is known than the Antichrist. So, what will the dictator do? What will they do? He will make a covenant with the Jews for one prophetic week. A prophetic week is 7 years, right? As we all know by now. So, and you know, for 1 week, I think that, you know. Anyway, but in the middle of the week, the Bible tells us, he will break the covenant, defy the temple again, call the sacrifice, and the oblation to cease. So what we see in AD 70 is just like, you know, one form of the of the prophecy and so on. They will have their temple again, and the attacker will appear in India. He will defy it, he will appear there and say, I'm God, you know, I'm that Messiah, you know, like Antiochus Epiphanes did, you know, and I went there and offered pig in God's temple and something like that, you know. That's why he had the Antichrist there. So we see. So anyway, so but in the midst of the week, he will break the covenant, defy the temple, cause the sacrifice and the oblation to cease, and shall initiate a terrible persecution against the Jews, that is, those who will not accept his claim. In finishing up, that is in Daniel 9:27 to 9, the last scripture tonight, Daniel 9:27. And they shall confirm the covenant with many for 1 week. That's a prophetic week, right? And in the midst of the week, it shall cause the sacrifice and the oblation to cease. And for the overspreading of abomination, he shall make it desolate, even until the consummation. And that determines shall be poured upon the desolate. So that's what the Bible says will happen, and some of that, you know. Many of the people of Israel will accept the Antichrist came and receive him as their Messiah to their own infinite regret, you know, later. But there will be a remnant, see, that we have had, that will reject his claim. So we're going to stop right there tonight. So just what he has gained a lot of ground to prepare for his empire. He got Western Europe, those 10 nations, that was against him, just crush them, you know. I got Russia into a pact, you know, by deception, they like each other on the table. And he got the papacy, the Catholic Church, bound with the Protestant, and he got them into a camp. Then he moved to Israel. Almost all the major things will happen at the end of the age. And that, you know. So the next time, by God's grace, whatever that comes off, we're now talking about the first 3.5 years of his reign of the Antichrist. Praise the Lord Jesus. Amen. Thank you, Father. Praise the Lord.
Hallelujah. Heavenly Father, thank you. In the name of our Lord Jesus, God, we are so grateful.